You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
In a world filled with chaos and confusion, in an echo chamber filled with lies and deceptions, comes a ray of light. Live from Madison, Wisconsin, it's John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
That's us. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know, this is going to be a big hour here.
Okay. What do you got?
Jim Santel. We'll talk to him about some legal problems that the Trump administration has.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a few. I'm not quite sure. We'll check with Jim.
Right. Get the latest.
And we'll be talking momentarily about the two teenagers ousted out of Hawaii.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
well,
German.
You gotta worry about the Germans invading Hawaii.
Okay. All that and
And gold cherubs.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
really?
Featured on John Stewart. But we'll get to that in just a moment.
7 minutes past the hour. It's cloudy. We've got some rain moving through at the moment. And it's Earth Day. High today, about 65 degrees. By the way, there is a... There's an Earth Day parade. 350 Wisconsin and other environmental organizations are sponsoring a parade today at 3 p.m. You can meet at the Capitol at the Lady Forward statue, march around the Capitol, listen to speakers, take part in artivism projects to protect Wisconsin's land, water, and air on this Earth Day. And we'll be checking in on the weather for today with Brittany Merlot. In just a moment, do we want to recap our first hour here?
I think we do. Do we have a music bed for the AI summation?
The title of it is From Puppet Shows to Putin's Pipeline. Broadcasting chaos ensues as John and Gordy juggle puppet shows, weather roulette, and fire alarms. They reminisce about Earth Day's origins, ponder America's obsession with jelly beans, and debate the best Girl Scout cookies, revealing a soft spot for trefoils. As hilarity unfolds, a sinister plot thickens. Elon Musk's AI is allegedly spying on federal employees and with potential Russian data breaches via Starlink. The hosts lament political absurdity from Trump's egg price faux pas to Dr. Oz's health hacks. Admits the comedic banter. Is that what we do?
Yeah, I think so.
A chilling whistleblower revelation warns of Russia tapping into the National Labor Relations Board. Oh, God.
Stay tuned for more shenanigans.
That's what
shenanigans.
AI. Yeah. That's what AI has to say about our first hour.
This must be an older AI. Using the word shenanigans.
You boys in there with your shenanigans and Falderall. What's the matter with you? Go back where you came from.
That's good stuff.
Oh,
oh man.
Just never ends.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Okay, let's get to the two teenagers, two German teenage students' class trip, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was their own class trip that they took, and they're globetrotting. Essentially, that's what they're doing.
Okay.
All right. They got kicked out of Hawaii. How do you get kicked out of Hawaii? But you do. Here's the question. Why haven't we heard stories like this before? Okay. I mean, that's my question. We haven't heard about people getting kicked out of Hawaii or any place for that matter until now. So I think there's something going on now that's making something like this possible, right? And I'm going to pull this from another web wisdom here. This is Aaron Parnas, one, and he has the story for us. Let's listen.
We have some big news right now, and if you're traveling to the United States, listen up. Two German teenagers travel to Hawaii as one of the last stops on their world tour, essentially, without a hotel booked. And while ICE officials thought that they were going to stay for a long time and illegally work there, detained them, put them in green jumpsuits, and next thing they knew, they were deported. This is according to a local Hawaiian newspaper. After hours of questioning at Honolulu Airport, they said they were placed in handcuffs, loaded into a transport vehicle, and brought to what they later determined was a deportation detention facility. They were subjected to full body scans, strip searches, and issued green prison uniforms. They were held in a holding cell overnight with individuals accused of serious crimes. Folks, This is a warning. If you are traveling to the United States and you don't have hotels booked or any accommodations booked, you may be subject to the same fate, especially if you are not a U.S. citizen.
Yep,
boy.
That'll do a lot for tourism, I think, into this country. We're already losing tons of tourism from Canada, and now Europe is staying pretty much clear of the U.S. at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Germany certainly isn't going to come back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so
not looking good for tourism.
So these
year.
Teenagers, you know, they were deported, but they were deported to the country of their choice, which was Japan, because they were going on to Australia, I think.
I see. So, okay, well,
they didn't want this to wreck their trip.
Right. Well, that's good.
You know. Well, so, yeah. So there's a positive.
They're going to be okay.
There's a positive.
They've got a crazy story to tell their kids now.
Yes, that's right.
They certainly do. I think that newspaper, local newspaper in Hawaii, was the Beat of Hawaii Travel News, and they also had this: travelers should expect to clearly explain their travel plans, show proof of accommodations for their entire stay there, and provide evidence of onward or return travel. Visitors must also have proof of sufficient funds to support themselves while in Hawaii and be ready to answer detailed questions from U.S. border officials.
Wow.
A vague or incomplete explanation of travel plans could lead to delays, further questioning, or again, deportation.
Lord.
Now, I'm unfamiliar with ever hearing stories about this.
Yeah. You're unfamiliar with what?
We've never really heard people being deported from anywhere, from this country or
not
from
like
Hawaii.
This. No.
Simply because they didn't have hotel accommodations. What do you do when you're just kind of, you know, wandering, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to wander through the Hawaiian Islands and stay where you want to stay. Find a hotel.
They're just taking a tour by themselves,
right.
just you know, exploring.
You know, I know, being a citizen, I wasn't up for this, I guess, but, you know, we went out west and we didn't have hotel accommodations set up.
Right.
We just took a trip.
Well, in the old days, you could hitchhike around the country. Remember those days?
Yeah, those are gone now.
Boy, that's way gone. When I lived in Boston, a couple of friends of mine hitchhiked from Chicago out to Boston just for the weekend.
Oh,
just to, you know, come out, hang out for a couple of days, and hitchhike back.
That's
no
right.
No problem. Kids in the early 70s.
I mean, it still happens. I've picked up a hitchhiker once.
Yeah.
Not to go somewhere. Their car broke down, and I drove them to a gas station, but still.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, you don't see people hitchhiking anymore.
No.
We've seen
bad idea.
Too many slasher movies.
Oh, God,
for
yes.
that.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't
anyway,
that.
That's crazy stuff.
It is.
And it's big news, and it shouldn't be happening anywhere at all. All right. Now let's get to the gold cherubs, okay? This is having to do with authoritarianism, and it was a bit on The Daily Show, and they were talking about the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the gold-obsessed Trump has that gold aesthetic down. Yeah, baby. He is.
Dr. Goldfoot.
He's trying to be Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine. He really is. So let's hear this cut from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
Oh, boy.
All right?
Authoritarianism isn't just policies. It's an aesthetic. The opulence of medieval kings, the excesses of Middle Eastern autocrats. It's a Pinterest vibe that speaks to the power of one's position, the riches that are the privilege of the office. Does Trump measure up? Does he have the lack of available wall space?
You have the mantle, and you have the cherubs from, is that from Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, that's actually, they're gold, all gold, look. And you know, it's angels.
They visited me in the night and asked me to change my ways. So I held them down and dipped them in gold.
Cherubs.
I drowned them in gold, liquid gold. Have you ever heard an angel scream? It is just... It is erotic. By the way, if any of you are wondering if the cherubs that are now in the Oval Office are real gold, and I know many of you are wondering that. It is real gold. And there's a very good reason for that.
Throughout the years, people have tried to come up with a gold paint that would look like gold, and they've never been able to do it.
Can't do it.
You've never been able. Look at that look. You've never been able to match gold with gold paint. That's why it's gold.
I don't mind them canceling pediatric cancer research, but I hope by the end of the term, we can come up with a good gold paint substitute.
My gosh.
All right. Yeah, I have noticed. The Oval Office has a lot more gold in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Along the mantle
He's
there.
He's obsessed with gold, obviously. Yeah. You know, toilets and...
I don't get what people's obsession with gold is. To me, it's like one of the ugliest colors. I hate it.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't find it all that attractive either, but yeah.
Especially in the White House.
Mr.
King Trump.
Wait till he gets his crown and his robe and the throne.
Here's writer Carol Cadwell. Cadwalder, that's it. It's Carol Cadwalder. I don't. She's an author, very popular.
Okay.
Anyway, she was at a TED conference and she was explaining a little something about all of this, the oligarchs and gold. Let's listen to this.
The Russian and American presidents are now speaking the same words. They are telling the same lies.
Yeah.
We are watching the collapse of the international order in real time, and this is just the start. Coups are like concrete. When they stop moving, they set. It is already later than we think.
Mm-hmm.
This image, some of you in this room might know these people. I call it tech bros in hostage situations. It's a message to you. This is Putin's playbook. He allows a business elite to make untold riches in exchange for absolute loyalty. Some people are calling this oligarchy, but it's actually bigger than that. These are global platforms. It's broligarchy. And it has to start with naming it.
That's right. So
it's
there you go.
A coup.
It's a coup.
It's a coup.
Yeah. And she also wrote, the first wave of tech disruption of democracy took place 2016 to 24, and that's all over. That's the tech disruption.
Mm-hmm.
What starts now is something much, much worse, the age of information chaos. And it's her prediction anyway.
And who was that again?
That is Carol Cadwalder.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't call it information chaos. We call it the fire hose of lies.
that's
I think
what
that's
it is,
a lot easier to remember.
That's more accurate. Yeah.
Yes.
18 minutes past the hour. We're going to check in with Brittany Merlot in a moment. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since 1958: direct-to-consumer products at the highest quality, providing superior service at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress of Madison, East and West. Go to verlo.com.
The American dream is killing me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Whoa. All things and what they used to be. Where did all the blue skies go?
Birthday.
WMDX 92.7.
7:21. Raining in Madison right now, right outside our studios on State Street. Let's check in with our WMDX chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Happy
How's
Earth Day.
Going? I love the dancing.
Did you like that?
Thank you, too.
Yeah, we're working on our act. Take it on the road.
He likes to go out on the dance floor.
That's right.
Make a fool of himself.
You know,
older
somebody's got to do it.
Well, somebody always, you know, gets out there and everybody else sits there and says, God, he's too old for this. He shouldn't be doing that.
Come on. It's good exercise.
That's how you stay young.
That's
yeah, what's
right.
wrong with you, John? Like,
yeah,
if I look at somebody out on the dance floor, they're all alone, but they're having the time of their life, then I'm like, good for them. They're happy. They're having fun.
You know, I always look at the people standing on the side thinking, they're the smart ones.
Okay. All right. Brittany, you enjoy a good dance every once in a while, right?
Do
it out there and absolutely. Shake it off.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
On the dance floor, out in the rain, I don't care. I love to dance. 100%.
Well, it's a unique thing here in Wisconsin. Women dancing with other women. You don't see that in other states. You really don't.
Yeah, you do.
No.
I think so. Yeah. I think you do.
They have to resort to dancing with each other in Wisconsin.
Because there's people like John just sitting against the wall all the time.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, well, I can see your point there. Okay, you got a point.
I ain't budging. Okay.
All right. Well, so rainy this morning around here.
It's raining. Yeah, what's going on? It's raining. What is that? Did you go interview someone on the street this morning?
That was Pee-wee.
It was Pee-wee.
Pee-wee Herman. Yeah.
I thought he stopped by. Oh, that's great.
Isn't that...
How long is this going to last, this rain? What do you think?
I think it's going to be done by about 10, 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
It'll ease up. You'll start to see a little spots of sunshine later on this afternoon. And then there's some storms that want to fire up this evening, but they look to stay south into Illinois. So I really don't think that they're going to be bugging you guys at all. And high temperatures today, a little bit warmer, making it to the mid-60s.
Yes.
Plus, I mean, it's Earth Day, so why not give the Earth the rain it needs? So,
yeah,
I like it. I like it. And is the warmth going to stick around for a few days? What do you think?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. It's going to be pretty nice down there. 70 degrees tomorrow, 70 on Thursday. We fall a little bit cooler on Friday to about 60 degrees.
Ouch.
And then for the weekend, into those upper 60s to low 70s. Did you say ouch?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Are you getting showers in Wausau this morning?
I've actually, don't get jealous. I've got clear skies and a lot of sunshine up here.
Oh, no. Well, gee, now we're getting the bad weather and you're getting all the good weather up there.
Oh, a little bit. Just for now. Just for now. We're going to get showers a little bit later. But yeah, it's draft week. And go figure, we've got this big system that wants to hit Thursday night into Friday morning.
Oh, no.
Decent soaker.
That's awful.
The big NFL draft is going to be, it's going to be raining there, huh? Oh,
it's going to be raining. So maybe, you know, football fans from other teams are going to have to go into our pro shop and grab the Green Bay ponchos and rock it and bring it home with them.
Again, you're hitting me at the wrong time here. I'm telling you, they don't have raincoats. Packer raincoats, they do not have them. They just give you these clear plastic bags to wear. That's wrong.
Well, don't they have ponchos?
No, they don't.
Not at all?
No, they don't have. No, well, they have the clear plastic ones.
No.
Dumb plastic ones.
No, green.
They do not have green and gold raincoats or parkas anymore. I don't know. You know, they genericized everything. They're going by what the South wants to buy. Because they don't have the snow down there. They don't have the rain down there. We've got it all up here.
Okay.
And we wear this stuff outdoors. And they don't make it. And it's not at the pro shop. If somebody finds one, send a link here. You know,
okay.
Just tell us.
All right.
You hit me in the sore spot. That just makes me calm down
for a minute here. Let's
maybe after this event and all the rain going on, they're going to wake up and realize that they need more gear.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, okay. Thank you for being so positive on that.
Okay.
No problem. All
right. Very good, Brittany.
Helping me through that.
Thank you so much for your weather report. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. All right.
Stay dry.
All right.
Have a great weather day. Okay.
Hey, your neighbors texted us here and they said, "Hi, guys, streaming from New Orleans."
Woo! Oh, good morning.
Woo! Getting ready for Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Oh, yeah,
tell us what you want to see and we'll... All right.
Well, that's big stuff.
Yeah.
The Jazz and Heritage Festival, that is.
Definitely have to give them an idea of what we want.
Well.
A lot of beads, right?
Yes. We need beads and pictures of whatever's going on Bourbon Street.
Yes. Yeah. Tyler out in Columbia County said, hitchhiking still exists. Mm-hmm. We just call it Uber. Okay.
Thanks for that text. You can text us on the Civic Media app or give us a call, 608-879-8255. You can call us there or text us.
And Mark, he said there was a movie, Elizabeth the Golden Age. The next movie, Trump the Tacky Age. A Portrait of a Vulgarian.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
Workshopping that idea.
And then we also have another idea workshopped here. Oh,
yeah. What is this?
When is the John and Gordy Show going to get Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson on the show to talk about 9/11 being an inside job?
He made
an appearance on a talk show, and he brought it up, and he said there should be investigations into 9/11 to make sure it wasn't an inside. See, the thing with Ron Johnson is he just
What's his problem?
He spends all his time coming up with needless, ridiculous ideas and
it's
conspiracy
just a side,
theories.
It's a sideshow, right?
He doesn't do anything. He's completely incapable of doing anything. I remember way back when he explained it this way. He said, you know, I could get more done, but I first want everybody to understand the problem.
No, okay.
And that's been his excuse ever since. He's explaining the problem, and he's not ever going to come up with a solution or get anything done. He's just going to keep telling us what the problem is. Well, thank you, Ron. You're the problem.
Oh, well, we should reach out to him and let him, you know.
If we ran out of time, I had this big, long story that I wanted to get to. Jeffrey Sachs was explaining the tariffs.
Okay. Well,
just never have.
We'll get to that a little bit later on in our next half hour.
I doubt it.
Okay, 7:28.
We've got Jim Santel coming up. We've got a lot of legal stuff to get to.
Coming up next after the Food and Farm Report with Pam Yonke. That's all coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning right here on 92.7 WMDX. Phone lines are open too, 608-879-8255. Stay with us.
WMDX, I'm not quite sure what the hell this is. What is it?
This is the theme from Matlock.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember Andy Griffith had that white suit that he wore all the time on Matlock?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I think they've regenerated this series. They brought it back with Kathy Bateman. Kathy Bateman.
I saw that there was a new one. I didn't see who it was.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well,
maybe Jim knows.
It's okay if you're wrong.
It's 7:35. It doesn't matter. Cloudy and rainy this morning, and that should be moving out, and then we'll be left with a mix of clouds and sunshine and highs in the mid-60s.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we've got Jim Santel with us. This is
attorney at law.
Yeah. There are so many court cases.
Yeah, where do we begin?
Yes, our docket is filled.
Yes, it is. Jim, you're a busy man these days, just keeping track of things like this for us.
Yeah, it's
well,
crazy.
And failing at that important task, I will tell you, just because it is too much. And I, as you folks know, in addition to this wonderful broadcast, I spend some time on civic media on Saturday mornings. And it's not just the cutting room floor. It is just every single minute trying to figure out what is the most important thing to talk about. And so to listeners wide and far, if you're overwhelmed, join all of us who are trying to keep track of it. It is just too much. It's a lot.
It really is. And you know, the big case that came down was the late night decision.
Yes.
To prevent people from being deported. I mean, these buses were on their way.
The Venezuelans.
And they had to go back and prevent the deportation of these individuals. And this was a big court win for those who are trying to protect due process. You know, this is a very strange thing. We got to protect due process. You know, I thought this is just a normal everyday thing you assume is in the Constitution in some way, shape, or form. Is that correct?
It is. It's there, right? It's not only there in language, but it's there in spirit and impact. And a stunning thing about this is you literally have lawyers as the buses are being loaded, and they're taking about 50 more Venezuelans to the airport. This is coming out of a detention center in Texas. They're literally running to the courts and saying, stop that from happening right now before they get on those planes. And they jump into all kinds of different courts. The Supreme Court, again, stunningly, 7-2, you can guess who the two are, say, no, you've got to stop this. And that comes in the wake of the other important thing that they've done recently is they have said, to your a good point, John, they have said, you have to afford people due process. And if you're still not doing this, we're going to stop you from doing what you're attempting to do. you have to file these habeas corpus petitions. You have to petition the court in a district court where the bodies are, where the people are being held. But it is an affirmation that maybe, just maybe, John Roberts and at least the majority of the Supreme Court are saying, Donald, you don't get to do whatever you want to do just because you were elected president 5 months ago.
Jim, didn't they try to get around this by going to a different district with these Venezuelans, to the next district over in another county in Texas?
Absolutely, right? They're literally running into, everybody's running into all kinds of courts, obviously, but again, seeking to have, again, another district judge basically overrule the Supreme Court. It's just, we're pulling out all the stops. And that's the larger issue, right? Putting aside that kind of frivolity when it comes to litigation. This is an administration, as the two and three of you have said so often and so compellingly, this is the larger issue. They don't care. Mm-hmm. And they're saying no. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have any doubt about it, constitutional crisis, that is now in the rearview mirror. We are there. We are there. True. And the question is now, what do you want to do to preserve what is left here? What are you going to do to stop this executive branch?
Well, let's take a look at Alito's dissent on this particular thing. What was he thinking? I mean, doesn't he know there's due process? I mean, he thinks that maybe the president has all of these powers now, but that doesn't get rid of what the Constitution basically guarantees everyone in this country, everyone in the country, citizen or non-citizen alike. What was his dissent?
And so, yes. And of course, it's joined by Clarence Thomas, the two. We've seen that before. But he says that the majority decision, again, the seven of the opposed to the two, he says that that was not necessary, think about that, to support the Constitution, or even worse, appropriate. Those are the headline words, of course, are falling all over the newspaper. He says, in some, literally in the middle of the night, yes, because that's when this is going on, he says. The court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule. We've seen this play before, right? You run into the lower courts, they'll schedule a hearing next Tuesday afternoon, right? Or even if they do get to immediately, that's the point. That's the point of injunctive relief. He knows better than that. And within 8 hours of receiving the application, dubious factual support without providing explanation for its order. Yes, because the bridge is burning, the town is flooding. You need to stop something bad from happening right now, Justice Alito. He says we had no good reason to think that under the circumstances, issuing an order at midnight was necessary or appropriate. Hmm. Well, if you hadn't, there would be 50 more people now sitting in that CECOT prison in El Salvador. And he knows better. He knows better. This is intellectual dishonesty at its highest level.
It absolutely is. It's just stunning that he could think like that and still be on the Supreme Court as a justice. Okay? That's where I'm at on it.
Yeah.
And his colleague, of course, again, harkening back to last summer, we talked about this as well. Oh, it just happened to be Clarence Thomas that said, maybe we should revisit Brown versus Board of Education. There's been way too much enforcement of that. And we need to think back to 1954 and kind of revisit that issue as well, in addition to all kinds of privacy rights. Both of them need to go off and write their books maybe not let this president appoint new Supreme Court justices, but the time has come. They're anachronistic on the Supreme Court. They long have been.
We're talking with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, and there's another case here that want to highlight here, Jim, and mention to us here. There's a really big case, an appeals court case, and this apparently is kind of a summary of everything that has to do with checks and balances and telling Donald Trump and his administration what they're obliged to do as president. Can you tell us more about this one?
Absolutely. This is the one involving one of those 238 plucked up and sent to that prison back on March 15th. His name is Abrego Garcia. Everyone's seen his picture.
Yep.
He's the Maryland man. He is not a citizen, doesn't make a difference. His wife and children are. He's plucked up. There is a finding that he is properly here. And the administration goes into court and says, oops, we made a mistake. He shouldn't have been there. The Solicitor General says that to the United States Supreme Court. You've got people like Stephen Miller, who again recently says, no, no, we didn't make a mistake. All of that to one side. What happens is Judge Zinnis, X-I-N-I-S, Paula is her first name. She's in Maryland. Like the judge in the District of Columbia, her hair is on fire appropriately. And I mean that supportingly, yes. Because she is at her wit's end with this government saying, bring him back. Tell me what you're doing. And you know, the Supreme Court has already directed that that's supposed to happen. Yeah. And it still hasn't happened. The administration appeals Judge Zinnis to the Fourth Circuit. It's basically the mid-Atlantic states. It's North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Virginia, and Maryland. And that's where we get, Gordy, to what exactly you just said. It's easy and it's accessible reading. It's a whopping 6 pages long. It's not steeped in legalese. And if listeners have an opportunity later this morning, pull it up. It is this articulation, so well done, of the powers of the branches, saying we've all got our places in this, and then saying we cling to the hope. This is the last portion written to Donald Trump. We cling to the hope, the court says. Let me go back. It's all too possible in this case as to see it as an incipient crisis, but it may present an opportunity as well. That's what the court says. We yet cling to the hope that it is not naive to believe that our good brethren in the executive branch, that's Donald Trump, perceive the rule of law as vital to the American ethos. This case presents their unique chance, to vindicate that value and to summon the best that is within us while there is still time. That is just, those are two of the just compelling sentences that make you, as you're wiping your eye, Gordy, make you cry. They make you cry and they inspire us. And again, last Saturday, I read the entire thing on the air because it's so good.
Yeah.
And it should be the last word on this. Supreme Court all needs to do is say, Fourth Circuit, you got it right. Bring him back.
Yes.
That's all they need to do.
Yeah, it is really a good read, I have to admit. Everybody should definitely check that out. What is the judge's name again?
Yes, the judge's name is J. Harvey Wilkinson.
Yes.
For what it's worth, again, unfortunately, we do this today in America. He, again, was appointed by Ronald Reagan, widely admired across the board, and George W. Bush considered naming him to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. He wrote that, okay? Yeah. And he's joined by two others, one appointed by Clinton, one appointed by Obama, all three of them. Endorse this statement. It's a new declaration of maybe not independence, but a new constitutional codification. Wow, it's just amazing.
Well, what can be done next? I mean, if the Trump administration just shrugs their shoulders and say, "Oh, you know, we'll send some lawyers and look at this whole thing again," and da 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 da. I mean, they just keep, you know, pushing this stuff off and not dealing with it.
Yeah,
not responding really. Yeah.
We're going to basically have a midnight Supreme Court here, working every evening here.
Yes, yeah, as well they should, because again, going back to our previous conversations, I'm not saying Donald Trump would have done all this on his own, but remember July 1, 2024, another historic day in American history when the Supreme Court said the presidency, not only immune from criminal prosecution, but also needs to be nimble, can't be feeble, needs to be strong and active and reactive quickly. You can't have a weak executive. That's what we established. That's what John Roberts wrote. Mm-hmm. And he takes an awful lot, it's at his feet, an awful lot of the authority here, again, that Donald Trump is using, at least codified then. It will, to your good question, be fascinating to see now as the Fourth Circuit opinion, other things come up to him. Were you serious about that, John? Maybe you didn't envision this happening.
Right.
Yeah.
But now let's look at your language. And it seems to endorse, frankly, everything that Donald Trump has done in the past 90 days.
Exactly.
Do you feel good about that, John? And are you going to backtrack on that? That's the next question, at least in the courts. Beyond that, again, your broader question is, again, beyond a constitutional crisis. We are there right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Do you go into the streets like the South Koreans did, like the Israelis did, and say, no, we're not. And it's happening, beginning to happen in America.
Well, there is
stunning.
There is good news from the court. Believe it or not, the majority of the Supreme Court appeared inclined on Monday. They had arguments on Monday to reject a conservative challenge to Obamacare leaving in place the federal government's authority to require insurers to cover everything from depression screenings to HIV prevention drugs and colonoscopies, the whole thing. There's a businessman, I believe, in Texas or someplace. He doesn't want to pay for other people getting free screenings.
Yes.
That's the most incredible. I can't even believe this is even a case in front of the Supreme Court. But apparently they're not buying it, that the government can actually require coverage of these free screenings that people should be able to get.
Right, right. It is stunning, once again, that there are any Americans who say, I don't want other people to have health care.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And that's where this comes from. You're absolutely right. The issue is a little bit wonkier than that, believe it or not, but it's okay, because if they get to the right result, these are these task forces that basically review what kinds of health care insurance companies have to provide, and they're basically seeming to support them. Has to do with their appointment and the president's power. Interestingly, in this case, good news, as you said, the Trump administration in court supporting Obamacare yesterday.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right?
I know.
Jim, can you stick around for a couple of more minutes?
Absolutely. Hell froze over.
Okay, 7:48. We'll be back with more.
We gotta save the world.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gorney in the morning.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains constant since they started back in 1958, they are still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side. Or go to verlo.com and check out their lifetime comfort guarantee. We're back with attorney Jim Santel. Got a couple of more minutes here. John, you had something you
I'd like
to
get
up.
To something that affects almost every other state in this country. We're trying to get a handle on the gun problem and shootings. And states are putting restrictions in, age restrictions in, for people who want to have guns. And the Supreme Court came out and said that Minnesota's law is no longer in force because it banned anyone under the age of 21 from carrying a handgun in public. And the Supreme Court says, no way, you can't do it. That's restricting the rights of those people who are 18, 19, and 20 years old from carrying a firearm. It's like eight steps back now, you know.
It is eight steps back just this week, and they continue to do this, right? Yes. They've got this history, which we've talked about. This again comes out of this case that Clarence Thomas authored a couple of terms back called Bruin. Remember this one, which they said the only basis upon which you can support gun restrictions in America, 2024, 2025, is if you can find. Remember this, in history and tradition.
Yes.
So maybe if we go back 200 or 300 years and try to figure out if indeed automatic weapons would have been banned back then. And it's a ridiculous notion, right? It's looking to the past and figuring out there's some antecedent, some predicate for doing it. This is more of that. You got it just right on Monday, even though on Tuesday they do something not so bad here. On Monday, they also reject this appeal. You've got Minnesota that basically the state is appealing a lower court ruling that itself banned 18 to 20-year-olds from applying for permits. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another blow. They didn't issue a formal ruling in the case. This, again, a part of this very expedited process here. But it sure sends a signal, as you just said, John, that we are still at this point when we are just completely committed to the notion that somehow the Second Amendment gives everybody, including young people, the capacity, the right, the constitutional right to carry firearms in America. The Minnesota law was created in 2013. 30 states in the District of Columbia have similar measures. A federal law requires people to be 21 if they buy a handgun from a licensed dealer. All kinds of things out there.
Right. It's
that,
all
again,
there.
Should be appropriate, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just ridiculous to pick 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. I mean, we can go, you know, much younger if we wanted, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. Why not, right? It restricts right. their right to carry a firearm right. in public. I, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about this. And if I remember correctly, who was the justice that passed away?
Scalia, who basically
yeah. said, even though it applies to everybody who can now have guns, that there can be laws that we can still have restrictions in place. We
right.
can still do this. And now they,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then Thomas does away with even that
yeah.
in
right,
a later
right.
ruling.
Yep. And it's great language. Once again, we're assigning a lot of reading to your listeners is to go back and look at what Antonin Scalia said. Nothing about our ruling. That was in a case called Heller. Remember that one
mm-hmm.
out of the District of Columbia. It says there's nothing that should prevent us from passing rational, reasonable restrictions,
exactly.
conditions, limitations on this. And he said nothing about this. Establishing a personal right to gun ownership keeps you from doing this. Boy, it certainly seems that with Bruin and these kinds of things, Supreme Court is not honoring Justice Antonin Scalia as he is no longer a part of our court.
And I wish they had done away with this reference to history, looking at history.
Yeah, right.
I think that they should never have gotten away with that.
Jim, before we wrap up, I want to move on to this case of Kristi Noem, our Homeland Security Secretary. I had her handbag stolen. At a Capital Burger joint, right?
Yes.
What? How in the world can this happen? They have security, right?
They do. I presume that, again, the secretaries on the cabinet level still have security. I presume she was there. If you happen to have, again, $3,000 is curious.
Cash.
Nothing wrong with that, nonetheless. But she's got her security access to the agency. She's got her passport, other things. And some, presumably, it's at her left or right hand there.
Right.
And again, she's a victim of theft, arguably. But again, what are you doing, Madam Secretary, that you've got this in a burger joint? That's the kind of or something's got to be addressed
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Kristi's got to explain to us what is going on here. And again, I will tell you, if I had done that kind of thing, even an assistant U.S. attorney,
yeah.
lost credentials, lost access, those things, an investigation, certainly discipline of some kind. Maybe not termination, but it is a very serious matter. And it's silly because it's in a burger joint and she presumably somebody else will let her into the office today because she no longer has her key card. But still, it is a head scratcher in the midst of an administration that is in so many ways incompetent. Got another secretary who's asking his staff to produce hot cookies, right? Does it end? When does it end?
Unbelievable.
Well,
Jim, thank you for being with us.
We got to have you in more and more here because this, too much of this is backing up on us. We have more stories.
We'll have you back soon. Thank
right.
you.
We'll look forward to that.
Jim Santel, you can check out Amicus, a law review Jim show on Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays at 9 a.m. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe, our Substack blogger and author, will join us. John, have a great day.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Enjoy the rain.
Try. After all of this, I'm not quite sure.
Stephanie Miller is next. We'll talk to you in 22 hours. So long.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.